third segment of the abundant life. And we're going to be talking about that abundant life as being, as you heard me talking to the children here a little bit ago, a separated life. A separated life. And God has a lot to say about that separated life, as in what it looks like, how it operates. And the reality that I want to deal with today is your involvement in that separated life. Because we live in Christ, many of us don't quite grasp just what it means to really have that dimension set so in us that things in our lives are different. Things are changed, as I was trying to explain a little bit there to the children. Because if we're going to truly live an abundant life, a life that is filled with the things of God, we've got to do something different. Okay, one of the definitions that you've heard me speak of before is the definition of crazy is doing the same thing every day and expecting different results, right? And because that is crazy. I mean, that's not really the Webster's definition of crazy. That's the Pastor Rich definition of crazy. And yet we find that there are people in the church who call themselves Christians not living the abundant life, and they don't understand why. Well, one of those very reasons is because we've not truly separated ourselves unto God. We're not living that separated life. To show you what I'm talking about, there are several scriptures that we need to look at. So the first one that I want you to open to is Romans 1 and 1. The book of Romans, verse 1, chapter 1. And you'll grasp very quickly just what I mean here. As you begin to understand, because the apostle here speaks this very reality, speaks this very word just unto us without any definition. And then we're going to look at one that gives us a little bit more definition, and then we're going to look at two others that really help us to set the parameters, okay? This is Paul writing to the church at Rome, verse 1 only, all right? Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and what? Set apart for the gospel of God. So when we are set apart, we're set apart for the gospel of God. We are set apart for a purpose. We are set apart to something. All right? That's your first reality. Second reality, turn to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. Verses 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 17. From the 14th verse of 2 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, we read these words. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I was in 5. Yeah. I read that with conviction, didn't I? But the reality is it's even there. Look at what I read. This isn't in my text. This isn't in my sermon. Look at what I read. Oh my gosh, I got goosebumps. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and was raised again. That's being separated, isn't it? That's not in my notes, people. I think God's trying to tell us something. Pastor don't have it all right all the time, but God certainly does. That don't happen by accident. That happens by God's choosing. Because we need to understand that we are this new creation as we are separated. Okay? Now let's go to 6:14 through 17 instead of 5. All right? God is something else. From 14 in the 6th chapter, it says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Baal? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord." You and I, understanding these two scriptures now, because I did not intend on the one, but God definitely wanted us to understand what this separation is. It is a separation unto Christ, okay? It is His gospel. It is His Word, all right? And He is the Word, right? John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word..." I like to say is, right? Yeah, the Word is God, okay? Because when, and I think it's funny, when Hebrews read the text, when Jewish people read the texts, they take out all past tense. They read everything present tense. Why? Because even though it was written years ago, it's still real for now. It is live and active, all right? And when we look at this word, we find here that we are to be called out. We are to be separated from this world in such a way that we should not yoke ourselves. What does it mean to be yoked? Tied, very good. Partnered, very good. I didn't hear that one. Binded, yep. Controlled, wow. Keep going. Oh, okay, I guess we won't. The reality is every one of those things is true. To be yoked with, all right? That means we are under its control. Because if you're yoked with another horse, if you have two horses yoked together, they have to go in the same direction, don't they? That's what it means, okay? We are not to be going in the same direction as the world. We are to be yoked with other believers. We are to be yoked with the Word of God. We are to be yoked with the Spirit of God, that we are under the control of God. We are to come out from the control of this world, to come out from the control of our culture, and to be controlled by God, by His Spirit. He is our master. Okay? We're not the lead horse in the team. He is. And we're under His guide. Not only is He the lead horse, but He's the one who has the reins. Okay? And He is guiding us. Next scripture. Turn to Leviticus. This is Old Testament, because I don't want you to think this is something new. This is something old that is ever relevant. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Verse 24. Verse 24. Hear the word of the Lord. "But I said to you, you will possess their land. I will give it to you as an inheritance, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has what? Set you apart from the nations." Now, jump down to verse 26. I want you to read this with me. Verse 26. "You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own." That's God talking to you and me. He was talking to Israel here, all right? But the age of Israel has come not to an end. It has been set aside. And the age of the church has come in. That's why when we look at the New Testament, we look back to the Old Testament, and we understand that God is doing the same thing with the church today that He was doing with Israel there. That does not mean we supplant Israel. We are not Israel. We are engrafted into Israel, and it's our time to grow. Israel is no longer growing. Israel has been pruned. Okay? That does not mean it's dead. It's still alive. God just doesn't have much shoot coming off of it right now. For this is the day and the age of the church. And we are to be the ones producing fruit right now. All right? We have been separated unto Him. He has called us as a holy nation. We are part of the kingdom of God, present and working today. Now go to Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. Jeremiah 1. In verse 5, this is our last scripture for this portion, and then I have some things to speak to you. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. As soon as Pastor can get his Bible to open, there we go. Thank you, Lord. And this is especially important for me today because I realize what today is. Today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. I don't put these things together. God really does. Okay? And anybody that doesn't think He does really needs to reevaluate the way you think and what you see. Okay? Because when I put this sermon together, remember, I got this whole outline comes to me from the little red book that we're studying, the Master's Outlines, all right? And then I go in and I do my Bible study and my research, and one of the scriptures that came up about being separated unto the Lord was this very scripture, and I said, wow, Lord, thank You so much, because this is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And we need to realize that you know, when we were first initially created, when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about Adam and Eve, when they were first created, they were created what? In His image. All right, but they sinned. And now we are created. We're not created in God's image. God still creates us, but we are created in the image of who? Sinful Adam. Yes. We got to be really careful. And right now I know there's a lot of pastors in our world that are saying we're created in the image of God, and we're confusing people. Because they're saying, wait a minute, if I'm created in the image of God and I'm whatever, fill in the sin, right? God made me this way, so it must be okay. That's not truth. Because we are no longer created in the image of God. We are now created in the image of Adam, who is sinful. However, God still knits us together. And that's what I want you to understand. God knows we're coming into being. God knew from the foundations of the world, before the foundations were laid, He knew every one of us that would ever be. And from that reality, we see a very spiritual reality that God has purposed us to come into being. Thus is what is being spoken of here. Look at and read with me verse 5. Okay, read with me. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Do you know God is speaking that reality to every one of us here today? You are a prophet to the nations. And I'm not talking dollar sign prophet. I'm talking biblical prophet. Because each and every one of us, each and every person listening to my voice right now on the internet, each and every person that has accepted Jesus Christ is a prophet of Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, Pastor. How can you say that? Isn't that one of the spiritual gifts? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we are to be speaking the Word of God into the lives of everyone around us, and that's being a prophet. And you and I need to understand that God has seen that and set us to that before the foundations of the earth. As He was knitting us together, as He saw us coming together in our mother's womb, God was blessing each and every one of us to the work that was laying before us that we had no idea that we were yet to do. He was separating us unto Himself before we were even a twinkle in our parents' eye, before our parents were even born, before our great-grandparents were even born, before Adam and Eve were ever created. That's how deep God thinks. How many names does God know? Trillions. All mankind from the beginning of time until the end of time. He knows our names. Dear brothers and sisters, from these scriptures, I pray that you can understand that to be separated means that we are to live a sanctified life. We are to be called apart, that we are set apart for salvation and service. You and I need to understand that very clearly. Please, if you're taking notes, write those two things down. A separated life is a life lived unto sanctification, a life that is sanctified, a life that is set apart, and it is set apart for the purpose of salvation and service. And not just our own salvation and not just our own service. We are to serve God, to give ourselves. And we learned about that last week, right? We are to give ourselves to God, body, soul, and spirit. And in doing so, God has prepared works for us to do. Because the works don't save us, do they? Absolutely not. But what they do is they give us a full life. They help us to live that abundant life. So many people think the abundant life is filled with dollar signs. God has shown me that dollar signs have very little to do with an abundant life. And it's so amazing to me because, boy, I used to do everything I could to gain the almighty buck. You know, every dollar counted. Well, guess what? They still count, just not as much. Because everyone pays a bill, right? Everyone puts food, groceries on my table, or everyone goes out there and does a work into the world, right? They still count, but they count a little different. Because now I realize what true service is, what true abundance is, what true life is touching another life. That in that life, they can give unto another life. And I'm talking real life. I'm not talking this stuff, this fleshly stuff, this mortal stuff. You know, you wake up in the morning and you have bad breath, so you go brush your teeth, get a cup of coffee, chase the sleep out of your eyes, get a shower. You know, that's living in this physical realm. When I talk about life, I'm talking about eternal matters. How many of us are going to be around forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, glorifying God unto generations innumerable? I cannot wait to see what God has in store for me in heaven for Jesus with Jesus Christ. We're told in the scriptures that no mind has conceived, no eye has seen, no mind has conceived what God has in store for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So I exaggerate as much as I can because I figure if I can conceive it, God's got to do something better. That's why I tell the kids, you know, when you get to heaven, what do you want to do? I want to run my fingers through the rings of Saturn because I can conceive that. And if I can conceive that, God's got to do something better, right? And that's my reality. Whatever you can think of as being the greatest possible thing that you could ever do, God's going to go beyond it. And the reality is we're to be living that life now, here on this side of the grave. And you can, and I can, as we begin to live a life separated unto God, separated unto His Word, realizing that God has called us out of this world into life, real life, life that makes a difference, life that says eternity matters, life that says it doesn't end here. When I exhale my last eternal breath, I'm going to draw in my first eternal breath. What a glory. You and I need to understand that when we come out of this worldly flesh, when we come out of this thinking, when we come out of this culture, when we come out of this sin, let's call it what it is, right? When we come out of this stuff and we separate ourselves unto God, we become kingdom people, okay? And when we become kingdom people, we begin to act different. We begin to think different. We begin to realize differently. And we begin by trusting fully on God. Because that's where it starts. You know, all of us know what a frog is, right? And we're all supposed to be frogs. Yeah, fully rely on God. We're all supposed to be frogs. Some of us are bullfrogs, okay? kicking at the goads the whole way. But we're fully relying on God, but we're asking why. Every time we go, God does something, and we're just croaking at him. Right, right. We're on the path. We got to make a lot of noise while we're getting there, right? Folks, I don't care how you get there. Fully rely on God. Now, that doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect, and it doesn't mean that you're not going to have times of trial and struggle. I have a dear brother, a dear friend of mine. I love him with all my might. He's one of my best friends in the whole world. He and I cannot talk to each other for 6 months, and the moment we start talking to each other, it's as if it was just yesterday that we just talked last. I love him so much. And he argues with God. He goes out on his back porch and he'll shake his fist at God. Rawr! And he goes off and he'll say to me, "Oh, Rich, I was out on the back porch last night and I was just hollering at God. I was bawling." He said, "Oh," he says, "I'm telling you," he says, "I don't know why God didn't strike me down." I said, "Because he loves you. Because he loves you." I said, "That's awesome. You know, don't ever be afraid of that." "Well, my pastor tells me I shouldn't do that." "Well, your pastor's nuts. Because if you're out there shaking your fist at God, what are you doing? You're talking to him. You're working out a real, real fellowship and a real relationship. Because you're entering into this conversation and you're working it out." And people say, "Oh, but that's not working out with fear and trembling." Well, I'll guarantee you, you're shaking your fist at God. There's some fear going on inside there because you're wondering just what he's going to do. And that's where God wants and needs every one of us. Active, live, present in our relationship. And if you don't think that's not being separated unto the world, try that in front of unsaved people. You will be institutionalized. And that's a reality. But you and I know that God wants us working out our salvation with fear and trembling. God wants to be in that mix. Okay? How much so does he want to be in that mix? Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 59. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. We're going to be in verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to jump from there to verses 15 through 20. Because I want you to read this whole piece, okay? But I don't want to read it all today because it's going to take up too much of my time. And Lord, forgive me for saying such a thing. But the two pieces couch the entire idea here. So let's begin in verse 1 and then through 4, and then we're going to jump to 15 through 20. But I want you to read it all for some of your reading as you're out there and doing your devotions. From verse 1, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads his case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments and speak lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil." Okay? Now jump to verse 15. From verse 15 through verse 20. "Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. According to what they have done, so will he repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, men will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood. that hath breath of the Lord drives, that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. In this scripture, we see the reality that God is here. He's with us. Israel was worshiping God. They were having a relationship. But there was no fellowship with God because they had truly not separated themselves unto God. They were having a relationship. They were having a conversation. But it was one-sided at best, because God could not see them. God had to turn away from them. Why? Because they had continued to walk in the things of the world, though they knew Him. And how many people in Christendom know God? They've come to the cross, but yet as soon as they walk away from the cross, they don't walk into the resurrection and the new birth. What they do is go right back to their old sin. And they continue sinning, and they come to the cross. And then they go back, and they continue to sin, and then they come to the cross. And then we go back, and we continue to sin, and we come to the cross. We never cross over to life. We're constantly coming unto the place of salvation, but never crossing over unto the separation unto life, the abundant life. And so many times this happens in our world. And we begin to understand a little bit more about what is happening here and why people aren't living the abundant life. Why people aren't experiencing things. They're living in influence, but they have no power. I think that's one of the most amazing things that you'll see. There's a lot of us who know people who gather a large crowd of people around them, and people like to be with them. But yet, that person never seems to accomplish anything. Their life never really goes anywhere. Why? Because they have not tapped into the separated life. They've not tapped into the power of God, because they're not living unto God. They're living yet in this world. So we understand that there are these principles which are true, because you can live a life of influence, but it's a life totally without power. You can live a life that is filled with movement, but never achieving anything. How many of us go around the mountain and around the mountain and around the mountain and around the mountain? You get my point? And we never seem to get anywhere. We just keep going around the mountain. Why is that? Because you've not separated yourself unto God. You're not living by His precepts. We are not living by His precepts. We are not being the people of abundant life. Another one of the realities, you know, and I think about this. How many of us try, but we don't trust? How many of us try, but we don't trust? We will do everything we can do to get something to happen. And then we say, Lord, I've done everything. I don't understand. Well, no kidding. Because God doesn't care how hard you try. He cares how much you trust. Do you trust Him? Are you putting yourself in His care? Are you leaning yourself unto His understanding? Are you bringing yourself unto the throne of God and saying, Father God, I can't do it anymore? Because from that place forward, Jesus is now able to do something in your life. It's the same way how many of us war. We go to war. We go to battle. We come against things in our lives, but yet we are never winning any of the struggles. That's because you're not living a separated life. You have not separated yourself. We continue to walk in our sin. And how many of us here today, how many of you, dear brothers and sisters here in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to walk outside the room because I don't want to be struck by lightning, have separated yourselves completely and totally from all your sin? Oh, no lightning. Cool. None of us have. But you know what? God doesn't say we have to get it perfect. God says we have to get the principle. Who's the principle? Jesus Christ. Okay? Get the principle. Begin to rely upon the principle. Set yourself apart unto the principle, Jesus Christ. Give to Him. Trust upon Him. Set your worries and your cares and everything upon Him, His Word, His way of life. Because without separation, our whole Christian experience, our entire Christian experience, note I did not say Christian life, because it's not a Christian life. If we are not separated unto God, we are living a Christian experience. Okay? And I'll tell you right now, there is an entire world out there living a Christian experience. Churches are filled with people living a Christian experience, but not experiencing Christian life, because they're not living the abundant life. They're not living the life promised by God, which separates us unto God for His purposes, to hear His voice, to know His call upon our lives, and to do the things that He has set for us to do. Because when we live this life, this Christian experience, okay, without being separated unto God, guess what our lives produce? Wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble. Because that's exactly all we're doing. We're doing everything in our strength and in our power. We're doing everything under our determination. And we're calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, look what Jesus had me do. And that's why the Lord says, there will be those who will say to me unto that day, Lord, Lord, look what I did in your name. And I will say unto them, I do not know you. You know, those hard sayings are in the Scripture for a reason, because they're true. Remember, church, with a capital C, remember who you are. You are the church of Jesus Christ, called to be different from this world. When they look at us, when the world looks at us, do they see somebody different? Do they see a peculiar person? Or do they see one of their own? And that's what we need to be, different. Because when we are different, when we do operate in the Spirit of God, when we are separated unto life through the Word of God, turning from our sin, walking in repentance, seeking His name's sake, doing as He instructs us. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, it's not an easy life. It's not an easy life, but it's one of the most wonderful lives you'll ever live. Because I have no idea, moment for moment, what God's going to ask me to do. I can write an entire sermon, and He tells me, nope, you're going to read this scripture. And I don't even know He tells me. I just read it. Huh? It just happened. I said, yeah, exactly. And isn't it amazing how that scripture truly did? I'm not stretching that scripture to correlate with what we're talking about, am I? It was the proof of that. It's that simple. It's not a burning bush. It's simply being available and moving because God says this is what you're doing, and not being worried about making a fool of yourself. How many of us, willing to be honest, care if we make a fool of ourselves? Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I think it's one of the most fun things that can ever happen to me today. I used to worry about it. I used to worry about what everybody would think of me, okay? And now, I don't worry about anybody and what they think. I don't even worry about God and what He thinks. Why don't I worry about what I do to God? Because the reality is I've given myself to Him. Why do I need to worry? If I've truly given myself to Him, I can be the most foolish thing, the most foolish individual this world has ever seen. But in God's eyes, He has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the things of the wise, right? I will be a fool for God at every step of the game. And people think I'm nuts. And I think it's awesome, okay? Because there are times when somebody will say to me something horrible happened to them, and this may sound stupid to you, but I'll look at them and I'll say, praise God. And they'll look at me and say, what is wrong with you? Pastor, I just told you something horrible. Yeah. What's God trying to tell you? What's God trying to teach you? What's He doing in your life? He must really have something in store for you if He's allowing this to happen. Praise God. Are you trusting Him? Are you walking with Him in it? Or are you fighting Him? Or are you coming against Him? And that's the difference between a person who's in the world and a person who has separated themselves unto God. Because I'm not worried about what the doctors have to do. Oh my goodness, is that right? What did the doctors tell you? Well, guess what? They're people too. They don't have the answers. They practice, okay? That's all they do. God doesn't practice. He speaks and it happens. Where do you want to go? To the great physician who can, or one who practices? I don't like to be a guinea pig. I want the finished product. And I want it finished well. That's to live a separated life. That's to live the abundant life. Because we are in the midst of that reality. Today, as we think about this reality, I want you to think about just how much of what we are and who we are comes from God when it comes to this reality. I want you to write down four scriptures, because these are going to be your devotions through for this week. And for those who are listening right now on the internet, I pray that you're going to write these down too and look them up, because I want you to understand God has given us this reality of being separated unto Him in four different venues, okay? The first is being separated by the purposes and for the purposes of the Father, all right? And that's 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. I'll give you some time to write that down. The first one is from the Father, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. The second one is from the Son, okay? And that's Ephesians 5, 24 through 27. Ephesians 5, 24 through 27. This is from the Son, okay? And each one of these separations does something different. I want you to read about them. I want you to see what they do. I want you to see how important they are in the life of a Christian. And then I want you to realize the things that are going to come out of this. Because this one that I'm talking about here, this is the one where it says that, you know, we are the bride of Christ and He's going to present us to Himself without spot or wrinkle. Hey, I don't know about you, but I got a lot of spots and I got a lot of wrinkles. And if He's going to take me to the dry cleaners, man, all of it. Get the dirt out. Where's the OxyClean? Okay? I want you to look at the implications. The third one is from the Holy Spirit. The third one is from the Holy Spirit. And that's 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. Because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you meditate on these things and you begin to see what God wants for you and has to in store for you and with you, you're going to realize that God is wrapped up in this. God really wants us to live in this world, not of this world. We are to live in Him and Him in us. And from that, we will have an abundant life here unto eternity. Okay? And that abundant life is not about money. It's about true life. It is about being able to live this day and day and day. How many of us get up when we're 14 years old and we say, oh, I can't wait till I'm 21. Then how many of us hit 80 and we say, oh, man, I wish I was 14 again. The reality is, till I get to be 80, I pray I never want to be 14 ever. Okay, and have to go through all that stuff all over again. Never in a million years. Lord, make me 800 years old. Make me 8,000 years old. Make me 8 million years old, Lord, because till then I may have grown up and understood some of this stuff, right? And the final one that I want you to look up, this has to deal with the Word. Remember, we have a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's going to enter in those realities very spiritually. But He's given us His Word to guide us. And in the Word, I want you to turn and look to, not now when you're doing your studies, John 17, 17. Okay? Because here, Christ speaks about how important this Word is for the drawing us apart. Because brothers and sisters, if you're going to build a bookcase from one of those kits, or if you buy a grill on, you know, from Lowe's and it's in parts, or, you know, you're working on your car and you're not really quite sure what to do, we get a what? Instruction manual. You know, that's why when I build a grill from Lowe's, there's parts left over. Because us men, we don't read the instructions. We know what to do, right? Well, I hate to tell you this. Guys and gals, God gives us His Word to give us that instruction because He knows we don't know what we're doing. We like to play at it. Oh, Daddy, I can get this. You know, how many of us remember when we were kids, our parents would try to teach us something. Oh, no, I can do it. And then we'd go and we'd mess up horribly. How many of us deal with our own kids doing that stuff right now? Well, I thought I could do that. Well, guess what? You thought wrong. Remember, folks, don't criticize your kids too hard. The nuts don't fall far from the tree. God has, in His Word, given us this reality of living that separated life. And when I look at all of this about living the abundant life, there's so much here, but I honestly have to believe that if we want to receive the abundant life, this is one of them that we cannot afford to skim over. Because you and I need to understand this is truly the crucible of where we live in this physical being. Because this is the difference between physical world, spiritual world. We were talking about that today in class, weren't we? And the final scripture that I want you all to turn to, and the only reason I'm having you turn here is because I had the sermon prepared and God gave us this wonderful teaching, and I said, okay, Lord, I gotta end with this. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Because I want you to understand how important this is to each and every one of you and what God's trying to show you here. Because I really want you to understand what this means to truly be separated unto Christ. To be separated unto God. And the power that there is in this. Because brothers and sisters, He knows your name. He knows your name. How many of you realize you have a new name? Do you realize you have a new name? Because in the Scriptures it says that when we go into His presence, that He gives us a new name. A name that only He knows. He gave us that name before our parents named us. Okay? And we don't know it yet. And the awesome thing is, if you know anything about biblical names, biblical names are given because they describe something about who we are and what we've achieved or what we're going to achieve. Okay? I want you to think about that because God has a new name for you. And that new name is an eternal name. So when I think about that, my new name is going to be working in me into eternity. It's going to describe who I am and what I'm doing for God. How many of you dare to think about what your name may be or might be? Could be, or will be. Well, this is neat because I want you to see how when God enters in, how He changes a thing. Beginning in the first verse, reading through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their face, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." Brothers and sisters, that is the most beautiful picture of a separated life that I can ever give you. Because as we learned this morning, when the seraph took that coal from the fire of the altar That is the burning presence of God, all right? The pure presence of God, the cleansing fire of God, and touched Isaiah's mouth. Isaiah was cleansed. Isaiah was purged of all unrighteousness, of all sin, of all wickedness. Everything that was in him that was unholy was cast out, for God is a consuming fire. So when God separates us to himself, it's not partially, it's totally. We are his, and he is ours, because he enters then into a conversation with us once we have been purged, once we have been purged, and he says, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" What? God needs me? No, God wants you. That's the difference of a life that is lived in the abundance of life. God wants you. He who created the universe, he who brought everything together, made a personal sacrifice for you, a way of cleansing you completely and totally, and then setting you apart unto service, setting apart unto holiness, that you now are the holiness of God. And from that holiness, he calls to you in fellowship, not just relationship, in fellowship to come along with him, to do works with him and in him and him in you. That's fellowship. And he calls, and he's calling to each and every one of you today. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said, "Here I am. Send me." Will you go? Will you go? Will you separate yourself? Will you answer the call of God to live a life abundant? Would you pray with me today? Gracious God, our Father, we thank you so much that you look down from heaven and you knew each and every one of us by name. And Lord, you sent your Son to be that purifier, to pay a price that we couldn't pay, to give us a life that we couldn't live. So Lord Jesus, even now, we are reconsidering who we are and whose we are. And as we do that very reality, Lord, we just ask that you would wash over us once again, full and complete, to allow us to know that, Lord, yes, you live in us, for you have called us by name. You have drawn us out of this world that we are to live apart from it, yet in it, to be thy people, to be servants of the living God, to live a life so abundant and full that it will last unto eternity, never ending, and always knowing the joy of the Lord and the power therein. For Lord, we have no power and recompense of our own, but from you all glory comes, and back unto you it is received. So, Lord, too, wash over your children now, that as we recommit ourselves, that we would truly be set apart, separated, sanctified unto you, that the old is gone and the new has come. For this we pray thee in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, and amen.